Okay. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, of course, in the church age, we're not going to understand anything tonight over tongues if we don't 1 John 1:9. So let's do some silent prayer and be filled. Father, thank you for another day of your grace. We would be nowhere if it wasn't for you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he accomplished on that cross for us. Tonight we ask that you'll just keep our focus and our attention away from the worldly things of our day, but focus now towards strict academic discipline and study your word so that we can help others who are lost, especially in emotional areas such as the gift of tongues that we'll be studying tonight. We pray that you'll give us mental clarity and that you'll help us to understand what's being taught. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I love this subject that we're going over tonight. And I know at Austin Bible Church, y'all probably know a lot about it, but tongues is what we're going to do. And of course, I had to pull the Rolling Stones. I like that. It was a good picture, especially for tongues. Now, we're not talking about the actual physical piece of tongue. Of course, y'all know that, I'm sure. But we're going to answer some questions about the gift of tongues today. And I would, if you take notes, I would just take notes on these four questions. Because there's a lot of people we know that are speaking in tongues nowadays that it's not available in the church age. So you got to be able to be sharp in what you're going to be able to, how you're going to be able to explain to them what's going on. Number one, what was the purpose of the gift of tongues? I did put that in the past tense on purpose. So what was the purpose? Number two, rhetorical. Okay. When did this gift start and are tongues still available? What about those who speak in tongues today? How are you going to handle them? Because they're not easy. At all. They try to play semantic games. What do we learn / apply from this doctrine in Scripture? I think that's probably the most important question up there. We can know a bunch about tongues, and it's not that hard of a subject to study in the Scriptures, but do you know how to apply it to the church age nowadays, even though it's gone? Okay, so what is the purpose of tongues? Sometimes it's hard to see the forest through all the trees. That's how I feel a lot of times with Scripture. And before I understood dispensations, it was really like this. I mean, it was just, couldn't figure out where you were. And I love that picture too. So we're going to step back and take a look at the dispensations real quick. And I'm not going really microscopic. I'm stepping back. So we're just going to look real quick. Of course, we've got the age of the Gentiles, the Jews, church age, tribulation, millennium. Where are we at right now? You can't answer that. Church age, right? Bing. Put my little world up. So we're right there at the church age, of course, right after Pentecost. But we're going to focus right here on the Jews, because that's it's impossible to talk about the gift of tongues without focusing on the Jews in Israel. So unless you understand that you're focusing on that to help somebody who doesn't know about tongues, they're going to need to know about the Jews. So we're going to really do a strong focus on that. Okay. Answer this question. Yes, I do want y'all to answer. Whose male is this? We don't know, right? Who wrote it? Paul sent it, right? Okay, who did he send it to? We still don't know, right? He wrote Pastor Cliff. Now, is this a reality? No. Paul couldn't write Cliff because they live how many years apart? 2,000? Tons, right? So it's not going to happen. Paul did not write Cliff. I'm not talking about the letters he actually wrote. I'm talking about a personal letter to Cliff. Okay. This is extremely important, knowing when we're looking at certain books of the Bible, who wrote the letter and who they write it to. And I know that at the church, Austin Bible and Country Bible, where we go to, we're really used to that, so it's easy. But these people who are speaking in tongues do not do any of this. So we're going to have to really zero in on that and the context to it, the eisegogics. Okay, Isaiah 28:11. Isaiah obviously wrote 28:11. Who did he write it to? The nation of Israel. Exclamation points. This is extremely important. You've got to know that. And yes, please do turn there. 28:11. I'm sure Bob's gone over this before, but this is the number one scripture of our, for us that we're going to be able to go to know 700 years prior to it ever happening. I think it was around 725, right before the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians, Isaiah was writing to the nation of Israel. Okay. So let's look at that. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Stop right there. We're not even going to go further than that. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Now I want you to flip over and I want you to turn to the New Testament and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. Okay, now this is Paul. In the law it is written, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Okay, he's quoting Isaiah 28. Paul was. Now, question is why was this verse repeated by Paul in 1 Corinthians? It's crucial to know that. Okay, why was he repeating it? Not going to get there yet. I'm not going to answer it yet. Okay, indeed, he will speak to his people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Okay, just adding those brackets. Indeed, he, God, will speak to this people, the Jews, through stammering lips and a foreign tongue, Gentile languages. Now my question is, what's a Gentile? Non-Jew, right? Okay. So anybody who's a non-Jew, it doesn't matter if it's what race it is, but just non-Jew. Okay, the word here, Gentile languages, tongue, is what we're going to focus in on. The Greek word for tongue is glossa, which refers to a language. Never does it mean some sort of mysterious, unknown communication that only God and no one else would understand. Ever. So why did he repeat it in 1 Corinthians 14 is the question, Paul. So what was the purpose of tongues? Now get ready. Israel be warned. Okay, this was warning to the nation of Israel from Isaiah that if they did not stop from their apostasy, they were going to be destroyed as a nation completely. Okay, and it was flat out there for him. Now, it had there was a twofold measure to Isaiah's writings. Directly after that, the Assyrians were going to come in and they were going to destroy the nation of Israel. Okay, but it was also looking down the corridors towards AD 70, which we're going to get to with Titus. So Israel be warned is the answer to number one. What's the purpose? What was the purpose? The warning of Israel. Okay? Gentile languages they were going to hear, and that was going to show them it was a warning. So number two, when did this gift start and are tongues still available? This is big for us because you meet most people and they don't know what the church age is. And you'll say church age and they think we're speaking in tongues. I mean, and we put up these words like glossa and other things. You know, if you come in here and just went off the street and saw Cliff teaching up here, you'd be like, whoa, speaking in tongues, they're crazy. And, you know, not actually. We're studying to show thyself approved. So, turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I think we all know what's happening here. The day of Pentecost, right? The beginning of the current age we're in, the church age. Okay, we're going to start at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. With other tongues, glossa, never refers to some unknown language, okay? This was the very first time ever in human history that the actual gift of tongues started, okay? Right then. Now, Pentecost was 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Okay, so you had the resurrection, 40 days, and then he left and he said, hold on, because I'm going to send somebody to teach you, you know? 10 days, right, passed, and then we've got Pentecost. Okay, speaking in tongues. Now, these Jews should have known better. The ones that heard the tongues. I'm going to try to put a picture up here to help explain it. Okay. At this time of Pentecost, this is kind of what it looked like. And you might not be able to see from the back, but we've got Jerusalem right here. Okay? So all of these people, these Jews, came back to Jerusalem because they still celebrated the holy day, Pentecost. Okay? They still celebrated it, so they came back, even though they were living abroad. Now, how long had they been living out from Jerusalem? That's a trivia question that anybody can answer if you know. How long were they living outside of Jerusalem? What major event happened hundreds of years before? Babylonian captivity. Okay, so what was that, 586, I think? The Babylonians dispersed the Jews, and they were all around here, and they lost their native tongue of Hebrew. Okay, only the ones in Jerusalem actually still spoke the native tongue of Hebrew. Okay, and from my understanding, it was a smooth flowing language from guys that I've talked to who understand the language, whereas the Gentile language were kind of staccato, kind of harsh to the ears from the classical Hebrew. So when these Jews who didn't speak classical Hebrew came back, and they heard these Jews in Jerusalem speaking these Gentile languages to them, and they heard them. Like, say, for instance, they were in Mesopotamia, and they came back, and they heard those Jews in Jerusalem speaking these Gentile languages to them. A flashbulb should have gone off in their head and said, Isaiah 28:11. They had the Old Testament. Okay, they could have known that was the warning. Okay, we need to get with it, because we're going to be destroyed. That was the warning for the nation of Israel. And we know that they didn't. Okay. Now, had those Jews that came back recognized these tongues when it occurred, two things could have happened. Individually, they could have been saved and believed in Jesus Christ and gone to heaven, just like all of us, and go to heaven for eternity. That's individually. But as a nation, they also could have been delivered. Okay, had they listened, they could have been delivered as a nation to the warning sign that God always, His grace precedes His judgment, always, in the Scriptures. Well, He gave them ample time. Matter of fact, He gave them 40 years. And they did not listen. Okay, and they had the chance. And it was written down to them. So they could have placed their faith in Christ, and they could have saved their nation from divine judgment. Unfortunately, they ignored the warning sign. And 40 years later, the emperor Titus came in, and he destroyed the temple, just like Christ said would happen. And the nation of Israel, as we know it, yes, gone for a long, long time. But we know that, thank God, that's not the case now. Okay. Okay, now the Bible itself tells us that the gift would end along with other temporary spiritual gifts. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Tongues isn't mentioned very much in the Bible. I'm sure y'all know that. Isaiah, and then in Acts chapter 2, 8 and 10, and then in 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. I may have missed a couple. I'm not sure if I did or not, but it's not mentioned that much. So it's really not that deep of a study. I mean, it goes a lot more deep than we're going to get today, but you can get a handle on this to help these people who are confused today. Okay, this is a famous one, and a lot of people know it, but they don't really understand it. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. I'm going to read it one more time. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Okay? Now the question is when would it be done away? Let's read verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Okay, and I'm sure you've heard Bob teach this or Cliff teach this. The perfect there is in what gender? In the Greek, neuter. It's in the neuter gender, which means it cannot refer to a person or Jesus Christ. Okay, it has to refer to a thing. And we know that thing is the completion of the New Testament. Okay, and theologians differ on what date that was. 96, 95, whenever he finished that on the island of Patmos. John, that is. So that verse 10 is crucial because you'll find people saying that refers to Jesus Christ. And you can immediately go to the Greek, and that's why the Greek is so much better than the English, because the English just flat out doesn't show it, like is always usually the case. But you can say very quickly, that's in the neuter gender, and that is impossible to refer to Jesus Christ. And if they're humble... Yeah, exactly. Masculine. Yeah. Did it work? Good. Now, if they're humble, it'll work. If they're rejecting the Greek, if you ever find somebody who's rejecting the Greek, do not throw your pearls to swine. It's kind of where I'm at with it, because they're not being humble. And that doesn't mean, oh, you're know-it-all because you know some Greek. I mean, if you're genuinely humbly saying, hey, you know what, this is a neuter gender that can't refer to Jesus Christ, and they still say, meh, because I've had people do that, and say, okay. And maybe the Holy Spirit will work on them later. So I wouldn't just, you know, give up. Keep praying for them. Okay. I'm going to look at this verse a little bit further. I don't know where I'd be without Libronix. At all. And I don't know how to go right back to that. I'm going to have to practice that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Notice that prophecy and knowledge will be done away with, whereas tongues will cease. Okay? Now this is crucial. Prophecy and knowledge will be done away, tongues will cease. When do they end was the question, right? Okay. Will be done away with is in the passive voice in the Greek, which means that it would terminate due to an outside influence. Okay, it's in the passive. The completion of the New Testament, like you said. Okay, that's passive. But middle voice is completely different. When it was used, will cease was in the middle voice, which means the use of tongues worked to bring about its own termination. It played a role in it. Okay, now, I say the termination occurred in 70 AD. I'm not dogmatic on that. Okay? And I'll tell you why. Because I don't think the scriptures are. But it was close. So I say the start was the day of Pentecost for tongues. And I say the cease was less than or equal to AD 70. Okay? And in Paul's beginning of his first letters, he talked about tongues like for the Corinthians because they had some major issues in the Corinth church. Later on, you won't find very much about tongues, if any, actually. I don't think any. Because I think it started phasing itself out on its own. Okay, they had heard this warning sign. So it might have been before even AD 70. But we know for sure that at AD 70, because of Titus, the Roman emperor came in and destroyed the temple. And as we know it, Israel as a nation did not listen. And so they got divine judgment. Psh, out. Right? Here's this is secular history. Okay, this is not in the Bible, but you've got the Ark of Triumph, Titus. Some people call it the Ark of Triumph or the Ark of Titus. Anybody seen this? Anybody actually been there? I think it's in Rome. Okay. Well, what's interesting is obviously it's extremely old. It's actually got pictures on it of AD 70 where Titus destroyed Jerusalem, and then he led captive these Jerusalem slaves out of Jerusalem. And they're carrying the candelabra and other Old Testament things that were mentioned that were actually in the temple. So even secular history, a lot of times you'll see secular history does prove, you know, we know that already. But it's fun because a lot of people who don't believe in the Bible, you can go to secular history too and show them things like this and say, listen, you know, in AD 70, Titus, where does it say that at? You know, well, you know, there's things even in secular history that show us that. And I thought that was awesome, that it actually shows that. You can look up some really cool information on the internet about that too. Good stuff. So this is a picture of the Jewish slaves being taken away, the candelabra, the table of showbread, et cetera, that were in the temple. Okay, so y'all got the answer to number two. Started on the day of Pentecost and ended on equal to or minus AD 70, whatever you want to say. Most people just say AD 70. So I think it's interesting that it was 40 years, because 40 is always tribulation. 40 days in the desert. I mean, 40 days of rain. There's always, 40 is an interesting number, so I find it interesting that it was 40 years that God gave them graciously. He didn't have to, you know, just like he didn't have to create this angelic conflict, but he did. Number three, what about those who speak in tongues today? Anybody ever met anybody who spoke in tongues? Anybody got any family members who speak in tongues maybe? I do. Pray in tongues, exactly. Yeah, privately. Well, my twin brother, I have a real deep interest in this subject because I have an identical twin and he speaks in tongues. And so we're sitting there one day in the river and he was talking about tongues and I said, no, man, the tongues are not available in the church age. They ended in AD 70. And he doesn't understand dispensations. And so he says, well, do you want to debate the subject? And I said, sure. That'd be awesome. We can get together and we can have a group of people. And I was thinking, you know, we can get a lot of people who don't know about tongues. And then we could hopefully teach them while also trying to help my brother. But you'll run into people who just don't read their Bibles pretty much. And they just do it because emotionally they want to get closer to God. Right? Instead of studying how we're supposed to. The other day, I teach at Bastrop High School. I'm not going to name the student's name, but the student, I was teaching them something. And they all know I'm Christian. I mean, they, you know, I'm not afraid to teach the Bible even in public school at all. So, you know, when it relates to something, you got to be careful. So he goes, hey, Mr. Furlow, last night somebody received the Holy Ghost. And you automatically know what kind of church is he talking about. Pentecostal, right? Just by the terminology. So I said, well, that's interesting. I know this kid has not gone to church at all because he's talked to me about stuff and I'm trying to help him along. But I said, okay, did you actually see him speak in tongues? And he said, yeah, I did. I said, what'd you think? It was weird. I said, yeah, it is. It is really weird. Have y'all seen somebody speak in tongues before? Have you seen it? Anybody? Have y'all seen it? It's very interesting if you see it. I suggest going to a Pentecostal church and checking it out. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Colonel Thiem was real big at going to different churches and watching them so he could learn. When I was an atheist, I've only been a Christian for 4 years. And my biggest hobby when I was not a Christian was going to different churches to watch these people. And I enjoyed it. Still do. So you can go to a Pentecostal church and sit there and watch what they're doing and really observe and you'll learn from it. So I do suggest on a Wednesday night going to a Pentecostal service and watching them speak in tongues. It'll help you. It'll educate you. Okay. He says this kid spoke in tongues right in front of him for 20 minutes. He sat there and spoke in tongues. And that's pure emotionalism. We know that. Okay, I got a good picture for y'all. Okay, what about those who speak in tongues today? Experience is no proof. I don't care what they say, because they'll say, I've done it. This is what my twin brother told me. Okay. Or it's going out of battery. So not just pridefulness. I think that it comes down to there's a huge lack of dispensational teaching. And we know that in the church today. So what does that mean for us? That means you've got to be sharp. Y'all have to know your dispensations. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to reach these people is if you know your dispensations and you know where to take them in the Bible. Okay, I'm talking to a guy over in Giddings right now. I'm trying to help him understand dispensations. I don't understand. Where does it say this in the Scriptures? So if somebody asked you that, church age versus Israel, could you take them there? Could you open up the Bible and take them to the Scriptures to show them? And if not, I want to implore you to be able to do that. And you just get some of your key ones that you know, like Ephesians 3, you know, other ones where it's talking about, you know, Pentecost is a big one, just where it shows these different things that you can learn to teach them. Okay, questions that I think that we must answer, that we must be able to answer is, what is the church age? Okay, to somebody who doesn't know dispensational teaching, what is the church age? Because they're going to ask. Number two, why did this age start? Why did the church age start? It's a reasonable question. Something I struggle with in my mind. What was wrong with the age of Israel? How come we had to How come the age of Israel was interrupted and we were put here in the church age? Why? What's the reasoning? God has a reason for everything he does, obviously. But we got to know why he did it. Okay? Yes, I'm leaving you hanging on these two on purpose. So when I say the age of Israel was put on hold, obviously it was for how many more years are left? 7. Tribulation, the end of the age of Israel. I mean, because we interjected, there's a reason for that. So be able, if you have a good grasp on why we're here as a church age in accordance to Israel, and even so, why was Israel created from the age of the Gentiles? I mean, why do we go from these different stewardships? You know, why is it? Is it just because God wants to? Is it because we screwed up as humans? Is it a combination? I mean, there's different ideas that you need to be able to explain to people. Is he testing us in different ways, maybe? To say that we're without excuse at the end? You got to know this stuff. Okay. How did these two ages, I'm speaking of Israel and the church, how did these two ages coincide with tongues in the Scripture? So when talking about the subject of tongues, you're going to need to know how to delineate Isaiah's prophecy in the age of Israel, even though it occurred in the church age, and why that took place in between the two ages. It's a huge day, Pentecost, first day of the church age. That's big for us dispensationally. Okay, but there people you talk to out there, like, I think my brother's getting it now, but there's a lack of dispensational teaching, and I know y'all know that. But we got to be sharp to help them. They're confused. So is our nation. Okay. I think another reason for why these people are speaking in tongues is that Satan and his dominions always try to pull people towards the emotional and not towards the diligent study of the Word. And that's obvious. It's so much easier to be emotional than it is to use your mental state and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. To sit down in front of your Bible, it ain't easy. It ain't easy for me, it ain't easy for you. I know it's not easy. I mean, it's not. And I know when you go 2 weeks without reading it or a week or whatever, you can see the difference. Because, man, you get in a fight with, me and Michelle, have we read in the last 2 days together as a husband and wife? No. We haven't. No wonder we're being so testy. Because we haven't been in the Word. Okay, so we've got to be in this Word. I know it's not easy, but that's what Satan, why these people are speaking in tongues is because he enjoys it when people are distracted from actually studying. You know, because he knows the end. He's pretty intelligent with the Word. And he knows that if we know, then it further puts a nail in the angelic conflict coffin, letting him know that God was just in his decision at the very beginning. Which is the whole purpose anyways. Okay. Another reason people are speaking in tongues today, from what I think, is people are into the ecstatic utterance in the mystical realm. We know that. I admit, it looks fun. Shoot, when I was an atheist, it looked awesome. It was awesome. You know what I mean? Anything that was, mystical or anything like that, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, from the secular perspective. So I think that people are naturally drawn to that, whether it's the New Age thing we see going on now, this postmodernism. The only thing we can be certain about is we can't be certain about anything at all. I mean, what? That statement doesn't make sense. How can you be certain about the statement you just made, They're trying to get closer to God. Okay, so some of these people are genuine, I think. So when you come along and you give them an inkling of doctrine in their soul, if they're humble and they're really searching, which a lot of those people might be, I think that this kid in my class at high school over here, I think he's genuinely searching. He had a sibling die in a car wreck this year. And I've seen a change in his mind where he's asking me questions about God. So I do think he's genuine. Now, he's been led to the Pentecostal church by somebody. Okay, so he's asking me questions about what is the speaking in tongues bit. So there is people in the Pentecostal church I think are genuinely trying to seek God, but they need people like you to help them. People like me and Michelle and all of us to help them. Okay. So number 3 was, what about those who speak in tongues today? Well, they're confused. We know that they ended in AD 70 and it's your job to teach them. Well, the Holy Spirit ultimately. A lot of times it happens through you, not just through them picking up their Bibles. Number 4, what do we learn/apply from this doctrine in Scripture? I think that's one of the most important. I'm going to try this because I thought it was absolutely hilarious. If y'all don't think it's funny, I'm still going to laugh. And so, why do we learn and apply this doctrine in Scripture? Now, to get your minds thinking how I want you to think right now, I'm going to tell you a little email I got. You might have gotten this email. I thought it was hilarious. This is about El Vaquero, the Mexican cowboy, and his chihuahua, Chelito. Okay? To put the context. El Vaquero, the Mexican cowboy, and his chihuahua, Chelito, are camping in the desert. He sets up their tent, and both are soon asleep. Some hours later, El Vaquero wakes up his faithful friend, Chelito, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. Chelito replies, I see millions of stars, senor. What does that tell you? Asks El Vaquero. Chelito ponders for a minute. Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Chronologically, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it seems we will have a beautiful day tomorrow, El Vaquero. What does it tell you, Señor? El Vaquero is silent for a moment, and then he says, Chelito, you idiot, somebody has stolen our tent. They were in a tent. Chelito was looking at the stars, right? So, Chelito, you idiot, somebody has stolen our tent. Now, why did I bring that up? We can study doctrine all day long, y'all. And I can sit up here and teach you about glossa and tongues and AD 70 and Pentecost, and there's so many theological terms that you could get people tripped up on. But do you even realize your tent was stolen? That's what I'm trying to get at. Can you apply it to now in the church age is the question, which is the one step further you have to go as a diligent Christian. Study to show thyself proven unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, right? Okay, you've got to apply what you learn doctrinally. The epignosis. Okay, that becomes metabolized doctrine in your soul, not just gnosis, so that you can actually apply this doctrine. Sometimes, if you know something well enough to teach it, then you're on the right track. So if you can be able to teach it to a little kid, like Evan, okay, if you can teach it, then you can, then you're on the right track because you're starting to get it better, is what I'm saying. Plus, that was funny. If anybody wants a copy of that, I'll give it to you because it's hilarious. So what do I think that we learn should apply from this doctrine of tongues? Prophecy will be fulfilled. And that's, our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And that to me is, God, I love it right now. It's hot. I want to be up there in heaven. Isaiah prophesied in 725, somewhere around that time frame, that tongues was going to happen. And it did. Okay, so we learn that it's going to happen. God does not tolerate apostasy from any nation, even Israel. And that is the chosen nation. So if he's not going to handle it from them, you think he's going to put up with our junk as the United States of America? No, he's not. Okay? So that's something that we can apply to right now in the church age. How do we take tongue? It's cool to know that tongues ended, it's no longer here, but how do we apply it now? He's not going to tolerate it. If you ask me, he ain't too happy with us right now. We're doing a lot of stuff that's stupid. We openly accept homosexuality, and we're anti-Jewish. Those two things don't go well together at all. We might verbally say we're not anti-Jewish, but through actions, we are. So pray for the leaders. Pray for Barack Obama. Pray for whether or not you like him, doesn't matter. Pray for him, okay? Because I guarantee you, there's people in leadership that I don't like, but I'm praying for him, okay? Okay, allow the Spirit to teach you rather than leaning on your emotions. That's not easy. That's so much easier said than done. I mean, it really is. You so want to jump to commentaries and what somebody else has written or what Pastor Bob has said or what Cliff has said or anybody. You know, you want to jump to other people's stuff. Well, you need to sit down with the Bible, 1 John 1:9, let the Holy Spirit teach you, okay? Rather than going towards your emotions and speaking in some prayer language that doesn't exist. What else? Satanic forces are real and they're appealing. They were then in Corinth. I mean, these people latched onto those tongues because they were fun, I bet. You know? I mean, these are people who legitimately had the gift, too. And they were going crazy with it. So they were just, it was very appealing. It was prideful to say, like that guy in Johnson City, well, you're not saved. I'm saved. I speak in tongues. And I said, okay, speak in tongues then. And he did, right in front of me. Right in front of me. And I was like, that was tongues? Yes. No, I'm not interested still. You know? So they're real. Church age, heed the warnings in the New Testament. Okay? Israel was told in the age of Israel to heed the warning that Isaiah in 28:11 said, right? Okay, we saw the big Israel be warned. Okay, well, we've been warned too. They're not the only ones. Most of the New Testament is experiential sanctification as far as the Scriptures go. So it's talking about experiential. Okay, and there's a lot of stuff of warnings that goes along with all of those Scriptures that a lot of times we just push aside and act like, oh, we got the Holy Spirit. I can 1 John 1:9 and be Spirit-filled and everything's going to be all good. And, you know, I'll just keep doing that. But we've got to listen to what the actual warnings are towards us. And there still is sin unto death. I mean, in the church age. So I'm just saying, we can't just do that. Okay. There you go. A lot of stuff, I put that up there because, I mean, right now Pastor Mike over at Country Bible is going over stuff that's warning the church age. A lot of positional versus experiential sanctification. And a lot of people will twist the Scriptures like the Calvinists do, and they'll look at it through a straw, and they'll say, every time they see the word saved, they immediately go towards salvation, right? Eternal. And a majority of the time, when you see salvation, it's talking about experiential. And it's mostly a warning to what's going to happen to you if you are not experientially being sanctified. He's not just going to put up with it. He didn't put up with Israel. He's not going to put up with us individually, trust me. Okay. So that's the key right there, y'all, is be warned. And we're short, and I'm going to close this now in a word of prayer. And we could hopefully use this to help people who don't know tongues. Okay. Thank you, Father, so much for allowing us to study your word. It's truly amazing that we do have the Holy Spirit in the church age to teach us all of these doctrines. And we pray that you'll not only allow us to make these epignosis, but then apply them to our lives in our daily readings of the Scriptures, that will heed the warnings to us as individual church age believers and as a nation, as the United States of America, that we'll pay attention to what happened to Israel in AD 70 by Titus, and that we'll repent from our apostasy. We will continue to pray for Israel, pray for our leadership. And Father, we pray that you'll just keep our minds focused daily on your word, and that we won't put it aside even for one day, that we'll pick it up and we'll study your Scriptures and humbly allow your Holy Spirit to teach us. We pray that you'll keep us safe going home tonight, and that you'll be with Cliff while he's over there in California still, and get him back here safe to us so he can keep teaching us some of these good doctrines. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. El Vaquero.
I love that thing.
That Arch of Titus has some really cool stuff on the internet. If y'all go look at it, there's better pictures. Those are just the ones I put up there.